Good day, radio friends. During the First World War, 1914 to 1918, it was my privilege for 2 years to be an evangelist amongst the soldiers which were recruited in South Africa. We were stationed in a town called Potchefstroom, in the province of the Transvaal, and each night we had a crowded gospel service. At these services, many hundreds were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus as their own Savior. One night, an old friend of mine took the service, and I shall never forget his subject and the earnest way in which he emphasized his message to those who, in a few short weeks, would be facing death on Flanders fields. He used a couplet as his text, and though the actual words are not found in the Bible, yet it is full of scriptural truth. Here is the couplet. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the curse, and Christ is the cure. We will try, in the few moments at our disposal, to drive home these 4 great scriptural facts that form the message of this couplet. First, life is short. That is, it is short in comparison to the eternity towards which each one of us is fast hastening. 100 years, in comparison to eternity, is only like a tiny drop of water to the vast reaches of the Atlantic Ocean. The 60 years and 10, which form man's allotted span, soon pass away. Job likened the brevity of life to a weaver's shuttle, which flew swiftly across the loom. Isaiah pictured it as the falling of a leaf at the approach of winter. James speaks of it as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. The poet expressed it as life's transient dream. A well-known infidel once described life as a narrow veil between the peaks of 2 eternities. To a boy or girl, life seems to be a very long, drawn-out affair, with an eternity between birthdays. But when manhood comes, these milestones seem to be much closer together. After the age of 40, they slip past at an ever-increasing space. Yes, the hymn writer was right when he said, life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and death's fatal line be passed, be in time. Second, death is sure. No one will contradict the truth of this statement. On an average, 78 people die each 60 seconds of the day. Each hour tolls a knell on 4,200. Each day witnesses over 100,000 human beings crossing the river of death. Every year, 36 millions fall before the keen scythe of the grim reaper, or the king of terrors, as death has been aptly termed. The time will come, unless Christ comes in our lifetime, when each person listening to my voice will have to face the inevitable hour of death. The universal confession of all humanity is, we must all needs die, and are as water spilt upon the ground. God's word announces a solemn fact. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Death has been aptly called a preacher of the old school. Though most unpopular, yet this preacher manages to make all humanity listen to his voice. Every tombstone is a pulpit from which he preaches. Every newspaper devotes a daily column to his eloquent sermons and deadly activities. He is no respecter of persons, for all must give ear to his voice. Whether they be rich or poor, high or low, religious or irreligious, educated or ignorant, prince or peasant, black or white. The fact of death, no one can deny, who has eyes to see and a mind to reason. The force of death, no one can withstand or dispute, for all must ultimately bow to its sentence. The fear of death, no one can destroy, save Christ. Within the breast of each man there lurks this fear. The great question we would courteously, yet faithfully put to each listener is, are you ready for it? If the summons came to you today, as it did to one of long ago, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Will it find you ready for that crucial moment when the Spirit wings its flight from time into eternity? It is this that gives death its importance. Shakespeare once wrote, that fear of something after death, that bourne from which no traveller returns, puzzles the will, and makes us bear the ills we have, than fly to others that we wot not of. Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all. Third, sin is a curse. A noted doctor once said to a friend of mine, if we could only isolate the germ of death, that would be the first step toward combating and defeating it. My friend replied, I know what the germ of death is. It is sin. For it is written in the Word of God, lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Another scripture puts it thus, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men, for the law of sin. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, he not only sinned for himself, but for the whole human race, which was to descend from him. As a result of Adam's fall, each of us has inherited a sinful nature, which in turn shows itself by sinful thoughts, sinful words, and sinful deeds, plus a rebellious attitude adopted toward God himself. God has gone on record as saying of all humanity, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is true of all humanity in general, and of each one of us in particular. Surely every right-thinking person must come to the conclusion that something is radically wrong with the world, and that the thing which is wrong is sin. Man by nature is sinful, and every sin he commits, whether it be sin in thought or word or deed or attitude, is against the eternal and infinitely holy God with whom he must inevitably have to do. Wise indeed is that person who faces the fact of his own sins and sinfulness, and then, like the publican of old, cries, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lastly, Christ is the cure. This would indeed be a hopeless message, were it not for this last statement. While it is true that life is short, and that death is sure, and that sin is a curse, yet, thank God, it is equally gloriously and blessedly true that Christ is the cure. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great source, secure, and bestower of life. He alone is the Savior from sin and its doom. He came into this world 1900 years ago to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. On Calvary's cross, he, the holy, sinless Son of God, bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He there willingly assumed all the liability of our guilt, bore all our sins, took our place, and suffered all the outpoured judgment of a holy, sin-hating God in our stead. As the Bible puts it, he was wounded for our transgressions, and bruised for our iniquities. Alone, in that dark, mysterious hour, he endured all the punishment necessary to secure our eternal peace. And then, with a loud voice, cried, it is finished, bowed his head, and dismissed his spirit, and then rose again that we might be declared righteous and accepted before God and saved by faith in him. Now mark this carefully. Let its truth sink deep into your heart. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, has accomplished all the work needed for the salvation of every sinner that will trust in his finished work and receive him by faith to be his or her own personal Savior. The moment a sinner rests in Christ's finished work of redemption, receives him as his own Savior, owns him as the Lord of his life, that moment all his sins are forgiven. God's Holy Spirit indwells him, and he is saved from the dread consequences of his sins. He is also given the power to live a life to God's glory. In view of this, will you not, just where you are, and as you are, say from the very depths of your heart, just as I am, poor, guilty, lost, I come to thee, Lord Jesus Christ. In simple faith I trust in thee, who bore my sins and died for me. May he grant it for his name's sake. Then this message of the couplet shall not have been in vain. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the curse, and Christ is the cure.